Let's see if we can go ahead and get started here. And it's good to see you this morning. Good to see you out here on this foggy, frosty morning. And well, it is. It is, Leroy. I know all about that. I'm right there with you. So anyway, it's good to have you. And we will have a few prayer requests here and a few announcements, and then I'll sit down and Brother Philip can share with us the Word of God, and we always enjoy what he has to say. And sometimes I don't get to be in here when he's teaching, but I try to look at it later. So anyway, it is good to see y'all this morning, and we'll go ahead and get started. I will say, be sure and look at your bulletin, because the bulletin has a lot of information in it. And I don't go over all of that stuff up here, so y'all look at it and read it carefully, okay? The most of it is it's about the whole church and what's going on everywhere, so it may not pertain to you, but it's good to know what's going on. So this Tuesday, there will be a cancer meeting in the chapel at 10 a.m. So you people that work in the cancer ministry, that will be this Tuesday at 10 a.m. Also on Tuesday will be a Oasis Christmas movie and dinner, and so that will be at 5 to 8 in the Family Life Center and Chapel, that whole area back there. Y'all will be in that. So this coming Tuesday, 5 to 8. Well, I don't know. You'll have to check with somebody else, Leroy. Like I said, I don't know that all this stuff, but anyway. I'd like to issue our condolences to Suella Martin. If y'all don't know Suella, her and her husband sat right here on the front seat, near the front seat, on all the services, and both of them sing in the choir. So I think Suella works on the bus, and so she lost her grandmother, who passed on November 30th, so our condolences out to her. Okay, we're still praying for Summer Scroggs. Summer's been sick and still battling some issues, so y'all remember her in prayer. And, you know, we want to see the Lord touch her, heal her, and use her for His glory. So just remember her continually. Just keep praying. Also, we're remembering Peggy Milhorn. She fell, broke her leg, and she's over at NHC in Kingsport getting rehab. Also, Miss Wanda Simpson, her and GS have not been able to be here, and she had fell and broke her hip. And so they are getting rehab now and trying to get her back on her feet. So remember that. Miss Lois Musgrove is going to have, over the next week, she's going to have like 3 different procedures. So y'all remember Lois. And she also asked for prayer for her friend who's in the hospital, very sick. And she did not give us a name. She just said her friend. So when you pray, just pray for Lois's friend, and God knows who she is. We're also praying for Jackie Barrett. Jackie's sick and having some issues, so just keep him in your prayer. And I noticed, is that you, Genevieve? You back there? Okay. Okay. She hadn't got in when I was back there this morning. So anyway, just pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. We're also praying for my wife, Shirley. She had her first surgery on her eye and went really well. And so we thank the Lord for that. And she's got another one to go through a week from Tuesday. So after she gets that one done, maybe she's going to catch me doing a lot of things that I got by with in the past. So hopefully she'll see better. We're still praying for Brother Philip. And he's going to start some of his mapping and procedures for his radiation tomorrow. And so just keep him in your prayers and keep our whole class in your prayers, because sometime Brother Philip might not be able to be here, and we'll need someone to fill in for him. So let's see, Miss Sheila Aldridge back there has asked us to pray for Andy Willoit, and he's got cancer. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Sheila, thank you. Okay, all right. That's all that I have here on the prayer list. Is there anyone that's got a prayer request that you'd like to have us remember? Just raise your hand. Okay, Brother Philip. Okay. Today, we're going to think about some birthdays that may be coming next week. Miss Joanne Coates on December the 12th, and Miss Nancy Sparks on December the 12th. So, two great ladies born there on December the 12th. That's great. And we don't have any anniversaries this week, so maybe get a little closer to Christmas. There might be some anniversaries there. But anyway, thank you for being here today, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and remember all of these that we spoke about, but also there's a lot of others on this list that we need to pray for regular. So take this list with you and remember them in prayer. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for the privilege to be here today. Lord, thank you for the safety this week, for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do, Lord. And so many times we don't remember to say thank you, Lord, for the things you do. And Lord, what a pleasure, what a wonderful thing to wake up each morning, be able to get up, Lord, to breathe and walk and go on our own. Lord, such a blessing. And Lord, I just thank you for it. And God, we would pray for these that we've mentioned this morning. All of them have things that are hindering them. And Father, I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, that you would have your will and way in their lives. And God, remember these people that we've prayed about, Lord, that's going to have some procedures done. And then Lord, there's many here that we don't know about. And God, they're on this list, Father, but we don't have an update. Lord, just remember them. And Lord, there's a couple, three people on here on this list that don't know you as Lord and Savior. And God, we pray for them. Lord, just bless us today. Bless Brother Philip as he teaches. And we'll give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Danny. It's good to see you today. It's good to see David back with us. Karen, you notice, is not with him. She's still sick, or got sick. David was sick last week, so we need to pray for Karen. And you probably noticed that Jim and Tony Armson have not been here. They've been away visiting family, but they came back sick. And so they're in bed sick this week, too. So don't forget them. Have you ever been embarrassed that you didn't pray when you said you would? We just are forgetful sometimes, aren't we? And I've been embarrassed like that before. And I've made up my mind that I'm never going to be embarrassed like that again, because If somebody asks for prayer, I'm praying right then. So all of us could be praying. A lot of times we just get disengaged, you know, okay, he's giving announcements again, okay, whatever. And we just kind of zone out. But we have an opportunity. It's brought before us a need while he's saying it. And if we all are engaged, we all could be praying, and a veritable cloud of incense of prayer could rise from this class as he's speaking for these people. And then we're never embarrassed that we forgot. Amen? And we do want to use the prayer sheet. I'm not saying that's going to be it. But sometimes we forget, don't we? We just forget because we're human. And sadly, I was going to make one other comment. I guess it was about Jim and Tony and these that are missing. And we have been missing Jackie, by the way. I'm very sad that he's not been with us. And so, James chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13. As I began, let me read it first. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. As I began to study and gather my thoughts on this important subject, I was somewhat surprised at just how much there was written about this coming judgment in the Bible. And all that was needed to be considered to make it a full rounded exposition. As my material grew, I mean, I got copious notes. I began to realize I'm not going to be teaching James anymore if I teach on the judgment seat of Christ and the coming judgment. There were many 30-minute lessons involved in all of that, and I thought, this is too cumbersome. This will become exhausting. And so I am going to confine my comments just to what we find in this. That'll be enough, and I do need to expand this somewhat because there's much to see in regards to these three things that we see in this in these two verses for us to think about. It's a very sober subject. And so we've read it, and in these two verses, we see three basic things: that there is a judgment that is coming, number one; number two, that there is a standard by which we shall be judged. In judgment, there must always be a code, a standard established by authority as a rule by which to measure or by which to pronounce judgment. We see that here. That number three, that there is the possibility of various outcomes in this judgment. So from these three things in this, we learn three principles. Number one, that the judgment is inescapable. It's coming, as we see in verse 12. They that shall be judged. And also, it implies a person is going to do this. All of this is very familiar with all of us, but we need to look at it because it's in the text. Notice also, we learn from this that the standard, according to verse 12, is going to be the law of liberty. Shall be judged by the law of liberty. So here's the code, here's the standard by which we shall be judged. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, we learn from this that the outcome depends on what we do. That's very important. This establishes responsibility and accountability in the Christian life. They shall be judged, right? And it says here, if you've showed mercy, there will be mercy. If you've showed no mercy, you will have judgment without mercy. So what we do affects what's going to happen at that judgment that we are headed towards. Now, this book ends in James chapter 5, and if you want to turn there, we see this again. As a matter of fact, we see it in this chapter. We see it in chapter 3, receiving the greater condemnation, and we see it again in James chapter 5. And in verse 7, it states, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." So here it is. "Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain." I'll talk about this more when we get into chapter 5, if that ever happens. "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." I will make some conclusions about that when we get there. But notice verse 9. "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned." Here it is again. Same word that we find here, judgment, krinos, condemnation. "Lest ye be condemned, behold, the judge standeth at the door." While we wait, we have this promise in this verse. We have this promise of his coming. And for that, we must be patient. Amen. We'd like it to happen right now. While we wait, we must be careful of our relationship with each other. That's what's mentioned in this context. The other is how we judge. Here it's talking about our interrelationship. Grudge not one against another, our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And there is here the threat of condemnation by the judge who stands before the door. One day he will pass through that door. So what we see here is kind of like what goes on in that foyer right before everybody comes in. They're standing before the door, ready to come in. That's what our Savior is trying to declare here. We're waiting. He's coming. We're warned. Don't have grudges against one another. There's all sorts of other things to consider, but in this text, it's we're to be loving one another, no grudges, no hate. And then he gives them a warning. The judge is standing. "I'm coming, but I'm going to come as a judge, and I'm standing before the door, ready to open it up on every one of us. When he opens that door, this is what's going to happen." Colossians 3, verse 4. "When Christ, is who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." So we have this sense in James chapter 5 of a judge standing at the door, ready to come and appear before God's people as a judge. And one day he'll open that door and he will come in and he will appear before us, and you and I will appear before him. Correct? All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul's charge to Timothy. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So the quick would be us who are alive at his coming. Quick, the living, and the dead who have already passed on. He will judge us all when he appears. "He shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear." Have you noticed this one word recurring over and over again? Appearing, appearing, his appearing, our appearing before him, his appearing to judge. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body." All of our actions, all of our thoughts, grudging, all of our emotions, everything we harbor inside of us that never comes out. You ever been there? I mean, all of it, we shall be judged according to the law of liberty. And he shall, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. "According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So from all of these verses we've just talked about, to sum up, this judgment is approaching its fulfillment. Condemnation is possible. When he appears, we appear, and we appear before this seat of judgment. That's what's going to happen at the rapture. When he appears, we're talking about the rapture, his coming and our appearing before him. At that point, he comes through the door as a judge to judge his people, whether they've done good or bad, and we appear. And the outcome is determined by what we're doing right now, good or bad, reward or condemnation. Can you believe that? We just don't think that when we get to heaven and we get raptured, that there might be condemnation. Well, we've seen that more than once, haven't we? Judgment without mercy. Be not many masters, for in many things we offend all, and we shall receive the greater condemnation. James chapter 5, lest ye be condemned. We'll look at some other verses here in a moment. So we saw in James chapter 5 this possibility of condemnation. By the way, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28 alludes to this as well. Let me read it to you. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, there it is again, the appearing of Christ, his second coming for his church. When he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It is possible that we could so live that when he comes, we could be ashamed before him. Now notice what he says that we're to do. Abide in him. This is the same author who wrote the Gospel of John and who wrote John 15. Do you remember? Abide in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you. It's the same thing. It's this abiding in Christ, correct? And we're encouraged, we're commanded to abide in him that we might bear what? Much fruit. What happens if we don't? Let me read it to you. John chapter 15, verse 6, he says this: if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. These are Christians now that are choosing not to abide in Christ. This is what we saw in 1 John chapter 2. Abide in him that when he appears, we might have confidence. Don't we want that? That we might not be ashamed before him at his coming. He is encouraging us to live for Christ, to abide in him. And if we don't, notice, if a man will not do this, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Talking about his Christian life. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Do you remember another passage of Scripture about the judgment seat of Christ and fire? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we see in John 15 a beginning of that judgment that will come when he comes. We have that judgment happening now. If you will not abide in Christ, he says he will be cast forth. If you don't want to abide in him, he'll let you go. And guess who gets you? Men shall gather them together. They're branches. But where do people go when they don't abide in Christ? Well, they go out to the world, do they not? And they begin to live their lives with lost people. Men shall gather them together. And they become what? Withered. Their Christian life is just withered away. And then eventually the master comes and continues that judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. They will be ashamed. There will be condemnation. And that fire will be executed against them. Folks, it's very important what we do in this life. We are responsible, and there are consequences to what we do, not only here and now, but also at that future day. Let's look at an example of this. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, if you would, please. And we'll pick it up in verse 19. Every one of us, I have, you have, if you've been saved any length of time at all, you've heard a message on this. Everyone I've ever heard preached on it as if this was our Lord and Savior, and we were Christians, and it was His coming again, and He was going to reckon with them. I agree with that interpretation, by the way. Let's pick it up. Matthew 25, verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There is a reckoning coming, correct? For every one of us. We know the parable ahead that was just, I won't read it all, but it was about giving of talents, the 10, the 5, the 1. He gave to every one of them. He went into a far kingdom. One day He's coming back. All of this has its teaching of us in this present age. Let's continue. After a long time, and it has been a long time, nearly 2,000 years, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. I said 10, 5, and 1, it's 5. Excuse me. His Lord said unto him, we love this, don't we? This is what you've heard from this passage, correct? Every time I've heard a sermon on this, this is what I've heard. Well done. That's what I want to hear, by the way. That's what you want to hear, by the way. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Remember that, by the way, when we get to another verse. I will make thee ruler over many things. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done. Same exact reward, even though he only had 2 talents. You and I are not judged on somebody else's gifts or somebody else's responsibilities and opportunities. Amen. We are judged only on our own. Amen. I like that. Praise the Lord. I'm not Moses. I'm not Paul. I'm not our pastor. I'm not a lot of people. I'm just me. All I got to do is be faithful with my 2 talents or my 1 talent. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want that. Now, then he which had received 1 talent. That's as far as I've ever heard any preacher preach on this text. But it's left something out, has it not? We never get this. But this servant is also a servant. He's also a Christian. And he's also going to be reckoned with, whether good or bad. What we've seen is the good. Amen? The things that thou hast done in thy body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We've seen the good, and that's as far as most of the preaching I've ever seen goes. The good. We want to be that. But we're going to see the opposite of that here. Then which he received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, does this sound like being ashamed at his coming? Thou wicked and slothful servant. Lest we be ashamed at his coming. Amen. Lest we be condemned at his coming. Does this sound like condemnation to you? It is condemnation. It is being ashamed. Thou ought, verse 27. I'm sorry. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not. Every one of us does. Amen. Every one of us that's been in church all this time, we know that our great God is going to come and reckon with us. He said, you knew that. And some have been very lazy, very uninvolved in the work of God, whatever it might be. 5 talents, 2, or 1, doesn't matter. We're to be faithful.
I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Notice, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10. Oh, there are 10 here. Excuse me, I must not have read far enough back. There are 10, 5, and 1. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. So there's loss here. There's loss. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, there's been all sorts of things I've read about this from commentaries, how these are lost people, how this doesn't apply to Christians. Folks, I don't know everything about all of these things. I do know that these are the same servants he gave talents to. God doesn't do that to lost people. He is reckoning with them at his coming. God doesn't do that to lost people. That happens at the great white throne judgment. All I know is this is terrifying, correct? That's terrifying that he would treat God's people in that manner at his coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read it to you again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now we're missing this in Christian circles today. We have lost the fear of God when it comes to the responsibility that we have before this holy God and the answer that we're going to give. Knowing therefore, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, there are no lost people. The context is Christians before the judgment seat of Christ being judged. And then Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord. Now, if we take that and put Matthew 25:30 next to that, I understand what he means by terror. It means that I am responsible to a holy God to live my life and to serve him while I am here, or I'm going to receive condemnation, shame, loss, and whatever else all those things mean, weeping and gnashing of teeth at his coming. Have I misinterpreted anything? You say, preacher, That just makes me tremble. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what God said he would bless in Isaiah 66, verse 2? To this man will I look, to him that trembleth at my word. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. You know what it sounds like to me? Our text says he will have judgment without mercy. Does this sound like judgment without mercy to you? Folks, what we do is going to determine that judgment that we're about to go to. Doesn't it determine how God blesses or doesn't bless in our life today? You can't live any way you want, have the blessings of God. What does it say in James chapter 4? God resisteth the proud. We can set God against us now. And we think that we're going to live any way we want here and now, and he's not going to be a terror to that person? I think we need to rethink it, don't we? We need to have the fear of the Lord, judgment without mercy, the terror of the Lord. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. We saw that in John 15. He is cast forth as a branch. That's terrifying. I can't explain it all. All I know is it's here in this text. Amen? And it's as important to observe this as it is the well done. That's the good. But there's also the bad. And our responsibility to God. I don't have any time left. If I start on the code of conduct, I may not be able to finish. Let me start on that. There's hope here, by the way. I'm going to stop. People are at the door, waiting to come in. I want to talk also. This is terrifying. It is. We want to do good. We want to be good and faithful. We want to have a well done. But we've got to make choices day by day to do that. One day that door is going to open. He's going to appear, and it's all done then. Amen? When he appears and we appear before him, there are no more chances to rectify all of this. But I would like to talk next week about this code of conduct, this code of justice that will judge us, and also to give you hope, because we can fare well at that judgment seat of Christ if we do certain things. And I'd like to talk about that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people. I love them. And the more I know about them, the more I appreciate and am honored by their lives and their service for you. I'm not preaching at anybody, Lord. I'm just trying to do a good job with the text so that all of us can have a very sober relationship with you, who will one day be our judge, who is today standing at the door ready to appear before us. Dear God, help us to be very serious about our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.